Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, August 22nd, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Andy Young. Andy is the Senior Director of the Fuller Youth Institute, and he led out in our parenting conference this past weekend. At the end of the podcast, Andy will share with us about life and faith and how we as a church can continue to come alongside the children and youth in our fellowship. But first, he'll read God's word for us. Thank you, Andy, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It is great to be here with you. Our first passage is Isaiah chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy, all who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains from Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of fire. Then the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over everything, the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and shade from the heat of the day and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and rain. Acts 2, verses 22 through 28. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, "I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." Psalm 41, verses 11 and 12. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. Because of my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever.
Thank you so much, Andy, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. We really enjoyed having you at the Parenting Collective and teaching us this past weekend, and I want to get to know you a little bit better and have everyone that listens along know you as well. First, tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and maybe how you got connected with Fuller Youth Institute.
Thanks for having me. This is great. I love being a part of a conversation like this. I was born in Korea and immigrated to the U.S. when I was 7 years old. Somehow I landed in a small town outside of Raleigh, and I have stayed in North Carolina ever since. I've been married over the last 28 years, but we don't have kids of our own, but we've had lots of kids over the years. My wife taught middle school and high school for a lot of years. And of course, I've been in youth ministry since I was 20 and have had kids in my life since then. So we love young people. We love kids. And that's been part of my journey. And that's been part of my professional history. I feel like my calling is to bring the two entities that I dearly love, and that is young people and the church. And my calling is to figure out ways to bring those two entities together. I've done that through direct work as a youth minister. I've done that from the seat of a senior pastor. I've done that through being an executive at a denominational level. And now I get to do that from the seat of being a part of Fuller Youth Institute. We focus at Fuller Youth Institute of researching youth and young adults. And from that research, we really work to create resources and training that will benefit the church. So we get to do that both on a national level and sometimes even globally. And I just am so overwhelmed at times of the opportunities that I get.
It's really neat to think about the ways that the Lord has led you throughout your life. Did you feel a call to youth ministry in the beginning, or?
Early in my life, I knew that I wanted to work with young people. I thought that I was going to be a coach. I wanted to live out Hoosiers, the movie. I was a basketball player and wanted to move to Indiana and do the whole thing. But Amy wasn't so keen to that idea. But it was really the love of working with teenagers and helping to support them and guide them and encourage them. And even as a young person myself, that's what I really wanted to do. So early on, I knew that I wanted to be around young people as much as I could.
This past weekend, you talked a lot about the questions that teens were asking and then how we can answer them in Christ. Would you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so through our research at Fuller Youth Institute, we really saw that young people were asking what we refer to as three big questions. They're questions around their identity, belonging, and purpose. Identity, who am I? Belonging, where do I fit? And the purpose question of what difference can I make? These are human questions. They're questions that we all have to answer. But for young people, these are questions that are always at the forefront of their minds. As adults, we can somewhat process those questions in the back of our minds as we kind of go through our day. But for young people, they're always in the forefront of their minds. We do that to them. Anytime we meet with a junior in high school, the questions always go to, what do you want to be when you grow up? Where do you want to go to school? Where do you want
to I just did it to you. Study? Did you feel cold? What is your experience?
Yes. We do that to young people all the time. But as adults, we also have to answer those questions, right? No matter what stage and age of life we're in, we may be new parents, and you're having to answer those three questions of who am I, where do I fit, what difference can I make? You may have moved to a new town, and you have to answer those three questions. If you're retiring, oftentimes, retirees have to really answer those three questions all over again because their work has been tied to their sense of who they are and where they fit and what difference they can make. And then in a moment where a stage of life where you may have lost a spouse, you have to answer those three questions all over again. I'm having to do that. My wife passed away a little less than a year ago. From cancer. And over this past year, and even before she passed away, I was processing those three questions in my life. Who am I now? Where do I fit now? And what difference can I make now? And so those are questions that we all have to answer in our lives. But for young people, they're often answering those three questions consistently and constantly. And I think one of the major differences from previous generations is that our young people have less adults in their lives who are really there to support and care for them than we have had in the past.
The question of belonging really resonates with me as I think about my kids and what they're looking toward and what groups they're trying to be a part of. Tell us how we answer that question through Christ.
Well, so we have talked about, who am I? We're sons and daughters of Christ. The Bible, time and time again, reminds us of that, that we are God's sons and daughters. We fit within the body of Christ. We fit with God's people. We are encouraged and we are strengthened because we are a part of a community of faith. Not just any community, but specifically a community of faith who are all trying to follow the teachings of Jesus. And then the difference that we can make is that we're called to be a part of God's grand story, the story of building God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And so we get to play a small part in that, utilizing the gifts that God has given to us, utilizing the knowledge and the abilities that God has given to us. We get to do that uniquely in the times that that we're together and also in what we do as a vocation.
I was reading through a children's Bible with my youngest last night, and the way they described what you just said is sharing the love and light of Christ. And that phrase really struck me, that as people who are a part of God's story, that's our hope, that we can share that love and light through your vocation, through your interactions with your classmates, and especially with your church.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, I found with parenting, when you think you've got it figured out, things shift and change, and what might have worked before, you're in a new season and your child has changed and matured. How is FYI working to help parents and grandparents and mentors with tools to face the challenges in different ages and stages?
We often see or experience young people's actions and reactions through the lens of how we experience that stage of life. And we don't take the time often to see it from their perspective and the empathy that it takes to do that. Not sympathy, but real empathy, to really step into their shoes and to see it from their perspective. And it's really hard to have empathy without getting to know them well. So one of the things that we really focus on is this idea of listening. Not trying to fix, but to really listen. To really listen for the question underneath the question. Not what's on the surface, but really asking, well, why are they asking about that? What might have happened earlier in the day for them to be asking that question? Sometimes it's really hard to do that when you're frustrated or when you're in a hurry. But if we really take the time to listen, we can get underneath those surface level questions that young people might have.
And then say we listen, but maybe we're making a decision that still displeases our child. What next?
Yeah, so we as adults, as parents and grandparents and as caregivers, we have the responsibility of making difficult decisions. We have the responsibility of giving guidance when guidance is needed, to make corrections when a young person is going down the wrong path. It is our responsibility to do that. But when we do that out of love and care, and our young people understand that we are trying to listen and empathize with them, then those corrections or those hard decisions that they may not agree with at that moment comes across a little better to our young people, because they know that we are listening to them. We're trying to see it from their perspective, and we're trying to walk alongside them in their journey of faith and in life.
Was there a spiritual mentor that kind of modeled this type of listening in your life, or someone who impacted your faith in a great way?
Yeah, I think of Sandy, who was my youth minister, who took extra time with me because she saw something that I didn't see in myself. I remember JT and CK and Frank, who were men in the church, who invested relationally in me when I was going through difficult times as a teenager, which every teenager goes through, trying to answer the questions of who am I and where do I fit and what difference can I make. Those three men invested in me, and I knew that they would always be there when I needed a listening ear, when I needed someone who would who I could look to and say, oh, that's what I'm shooting for as I'm growing older and as I mature in my faith. So our role as adults in the church is to invest relationally in our young people. At Fuller Youth Institute, we often talk about the 5-to-1 ratio. In youth ministry, if we have one adult for every five teenagers, we're really doing well in recruiting volunteers. And 1-to-5 ratio was always something that we wanted to reach for and shoot for. But now we're asking to flip that around. Now we're asking for 5 adults for every 1 young person. Now, it doesn't have to be 5 different adults for every young person where you have 20 leaders and, you know, 4 kids. But what we're talking about is every young person needs at least 5 caring Christian adults outside of their parents who are investing relationally in their lives, who they can trust that when something goes wrong or when they have a question about whatever it might be, that they have caring Christian adults that they can go to and say, hey, I'm thinking about this. Can you help me?
How do you form those relationships, or what's one practical way that you can make a step towards a youth to be a mentor or even just someone who expresses love and concern as someone in the church?
Right. So it just takes a willingness. It's scary. I know it. I know it's scary. As an adult, it's scary to walk up to a teenager these days because we don't know how they think about us. But what I also know about young people is that they hunger for someone to come and really get to know them from the inside out. And so a practical thing can be just simply getting to know their names. It's a simple thing. Maybe get to know their name, their grade, and where they go to school. And it builds from there. Who are their parents? Or who do they hang around with? What are their likes and dislikes? It's not groundbreaking. It's not anything that's difficult, but it can be scary to take that first step.
As you're talking, I was thinking proudly about our church. Can that be a godly kind of product?
Yes, absolutely.
Just about the different adults who are investing. I remember from the youth trip this summer, all the students came back calling one of our youth chaperones Yaya because they felt this sense of connection mm-hmm. with her. And other students, like my daughter, just had one of our more senior saints teach her how to make bread. It does take intentionality, but these relationships have helped these children to know they are loved and that they have belonging in this place.
Every young person desires to have adults in their lives. I know that that's counterintuitive in a lot of ways and in this culture, but young people do want adults in their lives. But here's the caveat to that. The caveat is they don't want adults who are trying to fix them. They don't want to be a project for anyone. What they want are caring Christian adults who love them and care for them no matter what, and are willing to sit and listen and really pay attention to what they're saying rather than just trying to figure out what they want to say next because they're trying to fix them in some way.
As I think about adults being present in the lives of children in our church, one of the ways that I think it has to happen is by adults kind of orchestrating this, like, are you finding that we have to facilitate these types of relationships or should they just start organically?
Ideally, we would love for it to start organically, but culturally, that is not happening. And so if that's not happening, then we do have to facilitate it in some way. we have to create opportunities for young people and older people to be together in the same room, and not only just in the same room, but intentionally interacting with one another. You can ask your kids, hey, we want you to have adults outside of us. Now you can come to us at any time and tell us anything, no matter what. We will love you no matter what. But we also want you to have other adults in the church, in the community, who you trust. So who are some of those people? And if, you know, if they can't name five or more, then you say, hey, who's someone that you look up to at church that you like to get to know a little better? And you go to that adult and you say, hey, I've been talking to my kid and they really need a few more adults in their lives. And they said that you were someone that they looked up to. Would you be willing to spend a little extra time with them? There's not a single adult that I know would say no to that, right? I mean, and so, yeah, we just have to be intentional. We can't hope that they have five or more. We do a lot of training at Fuller Youth Institute. And one of the things that we often hear are ideas around what can be done to bring intergenerational relationships to the forefront. One of the ways many churches have done that is to have a speed dating night between the senior adults and the teenagers.
I love it.
They get to know each other. It breaks the ice. It allows them to get to know some of the quick nuggets of each person's life, and it builds a little bit of momentum toward these intergenerational relationships.
Is there a set number of questions, or do they like roll a dice and say, these are the questions you ask? Don't know.
It can be done any way.
I want the details. How does this work?
I love it. But it can be done in any way. We would always say young people get to stay at the table and allow the senior adults to go around and get to know the young people. That puts the adults taking the first step. And what we hope to see is that they will continue those conversations outside of that event. Most churches that I know are multi-generational churches, but very few churches actually take that leap into an intergenerational church. And it has everything to do with relationships. Just because you're in the same room doesn't mean that you have a relationship with one another. So we have to be really intentional to create not only the opportunities, but a way for them to get to know each other.
Thank you so much, Andy, for sharing the love and light of Christ with us and for helping us in the Parenting Collective to just glean wisdom from one another, and especially from the Lord. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Absolutely. God, we give thanks for the way that you love us and for the young people that are around us who are in this church, who are in our community. God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. God, help us to have the heart and the empathy to reach out, to get to know them, to take the first step toward them, to help them to know that you love them and that we love them, that they might have more than five, that they might have 10, 20 caring Christian adults from this church, and that they will see what faith lived out looks like. God, we pray these things over Mountain Brook Baptist, that you will allow your spirit to fill this place, and that you will receive all the glory for it. Amen.